Now, I brought with me, along with me this morning, some bread rolls in this bag here. So they've got a dual purpose today. We're going to use them during the service, and then whatever's left, we can have them for lunch. So double whammy, isn't it? Now, we're going to do a blind taste test, actually. I wonder if we've got two volunteers who'd like to do a blind roll tasting test to see whether they can tell what kind of rolls they are. Any volunteers? I've got a couple of blindfolds here that... anybody like to? All right, Jackie.
Just take your glasses off, I want to see
them. I've been volunteered. You've been volunteered, have you?
Yes, I'll give you.
Right, okay. So put your blindfolds on then, and I'll come round and... let's just chop a... bit like doing communion, isn't it? Well, put your hand out. There we are. Right. What do you reckon the first one is? Sorry, white? Yeah. Has it got any flavour to it? Pardon? do you want another bit, Marion? I'll give you another. Anyway, I'll give you another bit. You've got the nuggy here. You're having your look jerk today. It is white, and it's a special kind of white bread, actually, this one is.
Has it got cheese in it?
Hold on, them. Exactly, yeah, well done, sourdough, well done. Right, next one. Any thoughts? Any idea? No. No. Well, an easy one, actually. It's a croissant.
Yeah.
It's a croissant. Right, next one. I won't go through all of these. I'll choose ones I think you might get. I'll try this one.
We're not
Yeah, it has got cheese in it, actually. Yeah, that is a cheese. That's a cheese one, that one is. Right, shall we just do one more? What have we got here? Well, yeah, let's try this one, actually. It's an interesting one. See if you get... right. I've given you the small bit, Marion, because I'm...
Are you saying I've got a big mouthful?
Your thing. Right, I'm going to put these back in here. And I brought some butter along as well, so if anybody fancies a nice roll for lunch, I might as well. Right, any ideas what that one is? Sorry?
A normal white
loaf. A white loaf, but it's got something else in it. Olive. Yeah. Olive loaf. It's an olive loaf. It's amazing, actually, isn't it? I must admit, one of my big things. You take your blindfolds off now. Thank you very much. Give them both a big clap. Well done. It's amazing, really, isn't it, how many different kinds of bread that there are you can buy. And I must admit, when I go to on holiday to a different country, I always like to try the sort of different breads and things that are on offer. But you know, in today's society, it's quite difficult sometimes, I think, to try and see the connection between how bread started out, you know, as an ear of corn, an ear of wheat, and the whole sort of manufacturing process and things that happened at the factory and everything, to when we receive it in our homes. You know, I'm sure a lot of children today think that, you know, peas, for example, don't grow on anything. They just happen to kind of come in a can, don't they? And it's a way of the world today. And of course, manufacturers today are telling us how quickly they can manufacture stuff, can't they? And you know, there's lots of adverts and things about how quickly the fruit's picked and gets into the can, and it's so fresh when it kind of reaches you at home and everything. And of course, there's a lot of worrying things happening in the world today, aren't there, about, you know, genetically modified food and all of that kind of thing. And to be honest, sometimes you don't really quite know what it is you're eating when you're picked up off the supermarket shelves. But, you know, we have harvest, don't we, as a special time in our church calendar to remember that all of the food that we have comes from God. And it's just a time, really, isn't it, for us just to pause and just to give us a special time of thanks and remembrance of all the good things that God does give us, and things very often that we take for granted in our world today. So we go to sing again, and it's just a newish one, this is, actually, but we have sung it before. It's a creation type of hymn song, and it's called From the Highest of Heights to the Depth of the Seas, Creations Revealing Your Majesty, from the colours of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings. Thank you. We're going to have a time now of just giving some thanks to God for various things and just praying generally for some of the issues that are around the world, friends that we know that aren't too well. On your tables, you should have one of these. I've put this as a sort of a prayers ideas list. I don't know whether the music group might like that, actually. I'll put the... What I've done, I've just put a few ideas here that we might like to pray about this morning, and then I'm just going to give you a few moments then to get together and to pray on your tables just as God leads you to do. So I've suggested things such as places where there's war and injustice, struggling to find food or to make ends meet, those who care for those who are unwell, the church, not just this church, and for future missing. And so think about our future as a church, because obviously we've got some big decisions and things, haven't we, to make as we move forward together at Carey. To those who give us some joy in our lives, perhaps those who come and visit us, those who help us, those who look after us, and also to pray for ourselves as well. So what I'm going to do, I've got some music here that I'm just going to play, and I'll just give you some time really, just to spend the time, just if you want, just to be quiet, just to listen to the music, let it minister to you. Or if you want to pray silently, or on your tables, if you want to pray together for specific things, then it's just entirely up to you. So we're just going to have an open time now, really, where people can just pray together. consider, Lord, the world that you have created, we can see, Lord, how short we have fallen, Lord, of what you intended it to be. We just survey, Lord, the brokenness, the sin, the wickedness, the inequality. Father, we just pray, Lord, for those, Lord, in this world that can help and to do something, Lord, to bring about the kind of world, Lord, you intended it to be. Pray, Father, for this church, Lord. We thank you that you've placed us here, that you've given us one another to help and to encourage one another. But, Lord, we know that you didn't just bring us here to be some kind of social gathering, that you wanted us, Lord, to tell others about your word and about your mission. And so, Father, we pray that as we move forward during these next few months, you might give us a real heart for mission in this church. A real desire, Lord, to reach out to the people around us in Kettering and further, Lord, that they might know the saving power of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for those who aren't able to be with us this morning, for those who are unwell. Think particularly of Sheila, Lord, and others, Father, who are sick at this time. We just take a moment or two, Lord, just to bring our own prayers, Father, to you. Things that are bothering us. These things in and through our Saviour's name. Amen. I'm going to ask Jackie now to come forward, and a reading we've probably never had here, I don't think. Mr. Melvin never heard it. It's from Deuteronomy and chapter 26.
First fruits and tithes. When you have entered the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land that the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land of the Lord, swore to our ancestors to give us. The priests shall take the baskets from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians ill-treated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voices and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levites, the foreigner, the fatherless, the widows, so that they might eat in your town and be satisfied. Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion and have given it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. According to all your commands, I have not turned aside from your commands, nor have I forgotten any of them. I have not eaten any of the sacred portion while I was in mourning, nor have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor have I offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God. I have done everything you commanded me. Look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place, and bless your people Israel and the land you have given us as you promised on oath to our ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. The Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws. Carefully observe them while all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared this day that the Lord is your God and that you will walk in obedience to him, that you will keep his decrees, commands, and laws, that you will listen to him, and the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possessions, as he promised, and that you are to keep all his commands. He has declared that he will set you in praise, fame, and honor, high above all the nations he has made, and that you will be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he promised.
Thank you, Jackie. I've got a few thoughts, really, about that passage that Jackie's just read. And we're back to our P's, and I've got three P's I'm going to share with you today. Well, there's more than three P's in here, hopefully. And just to use it, really, as the basis for our talk today. So the first thing that happens in this passage today is that God led the Israelites to his chosen place. If you remember that the Israelites had been wandering around in the desert, God had led them out of Egypt, out of the oppression that they'd suffered under Pharaoh, and they were arriving at this land that's described as a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, it was a country that was really rich in resources, a place where it was easy to grow things, and the Israelites had more than enough to eat and to drink. You know, they were in a really good place. You know, they, as Jim Callaghan once said, they'd never had it so good. Was it Jim Callaghan? I think it was, wasn't it, actually? You'd never have it so good. And when we think about it, we've never had it so good really here, have we? You know, when we think about what we've got a nice building here. It's probably not as warm as it might be today, but it's nice. We've got a nice lunch, hopefully, to look forward to after the service. And when you go home today, you've got a nice house to go home to and everything, and all sorts of things. And you've got clothes and things that you wear and everything. You know, I've got more than one pair of underpants, as you know. And we're quite well off. And you know, some of us might have a job or a pension, and you know, a certain amount of security, haven't we really? And we count all of the blessings that God has given to us. It's quite a long list in actual fact. And we're very fortunate, I think, as well, aren't we, to live in a country, in a society where, you know, we do get a lot of help and, you know, a lot of things just sort of handed to us on a plate, don't we? And it's very easy, isn't it, to take things for granted, you know, when we look at other countries that, you know, struggle for basic necessities like food, clean water, basic hygiene, sanitation, all of those things that we kind of take for granted. You know, I often wonder, you know, if I'd been born in another country or in a different kind of environment, you know, how my life would have turned out. You know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? If you think, you know, how fortunate we are that we're here today, and you know, we do live a pretty good life if we're honest today. And of course, this reading from Deuteronomy really just underscores, doesn't it, that it's God that provides everything that we've got. And of course, the fact that we've got all of these things, God wants us to take care of it, to look after it, not to waste it, and to be generous with it as well. You know, God doesn't want us to think that, you know, it's by our own strength that we get all of these things, but it's that God is the giver and supplier of all the things. And it's God that gives us the ability, doesn't it, to go out and to do jobs and to work and to earn money and things to provide and put food on our table. And we need to remember that God gave the Israelites this land as an inheritance, didn't he? It wasn't something they earned, it wasn't something they did. You know, God was generous and he gave it to them as an inheritance. And of course, as I said earlier, whether you believe in God or not, God gives everybody the same kinds of things, doesn't he? You know, it's a generous, generous God. And as Christians, I think, we need to have a special time, don't we, when we need to just pause and think and thank God for the things that he has given to us. So that's the first P then, that God put the Israelites in a special place. Right. The second one is that God gave the Israelites a portion of everything that they had. You know, it's easy just to kind of see harvest as a time to kind of count our blessings, isn't it? You know, and say, oh, well, God's given me this, he's given me that, and all of the stuff that we've collected here on there. But harvest is as much about sharing and giving as it is about giving thanks. In verse 2, it says this, it says, the Israelites are commanded to take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land and put them in a basket, and then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest, I declare to the Lord your God, I have come to the land, and the Lord swore to our ancestors to giving. So we're saying here, as well as giving thanks, part of giving thanks is actually giving something back to God. You know, it talks here about gifts and tithes and things, doesn't it? And of course, God does want us to give something back to him. You know, it's why we have an offering every week. You know, it's part of what God requires of us. And it's described here as first fruits. So it's the very first, very best produce that they had produced. So it wasn't the sort of mouldy bit of oldy grapes or things or banana that was gone a bit black or whatever. It was the very best stuff that they'd actually produced. And of course, first fruits, it means that it's a very special offering to God. Paul in the New Testament often described some of the Christians that he met as first fruits. In other words, people that were very special to him, that were sort of almost gifts to him that God had given to him. So we are, if we regard to ourselves as God's first fruits, God's special offerings, God's special gift to him, we're people that God has set aside specially for the work that he's given to him. And I believe God wants us not only just to give our money and to give the gifts and things that we've done, but he wants us to give our whole lives, doesn't he, as an offering to him. You know, we often say the prayer about, you know, giving our souls and our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. And God wants our very best, doesn't he? He doesn't want the leftovers in our lives. You know, very often churches are criticised, aren't they, you know, for serving the worst coffee and the worst of every, you know, you go to some church and you think, oh, terrible this is. You know, we kind of try and do things on the cheap, don't we? But, you know, we ought to be as generous as we possibly can, you know, and if we're thinking about mission, you know, we need to be offering people the very best that we can offer them. I've got a little video I'm going to show you now. I'm sure you know this story, and I've looked for a video that kind of, I was going to tell the story, but I thought, no, it'd be probably better to have a video. And then I couldn't find a video that I quite liked, actually, but this is about the best I could come up with. And it's a story of the stone soup. I'm sure some of you have heard the story of the stone soup. So I'm going to listen to it. It's about 3 minutes long, anyway. And it's the story of the stone soup, and it's a lady that's reading it for us.
The stone soup. Once upon a time, there was a great famine. In a small village, many people were worried that their families would go hungry and that they wouldn't be able to make it through the winter. Villagers started to hide whatever food they had. They hid it away from friends, and they hid it away from neighbours. Then one day, a soldier came wandering through the village. He'd been walking for miles and miles, and he asked if there was anywhere he could sleep and eat just for the night. "We haven't got anywhere here, I'm afraid," said one villager. "We haven't got anything, I'm afraid, here. Keep moving on," said another. "Don't stop here, we haven't anything to eat here," said the last. "It's okay, I have everything I need," said the soldier. "In fact, I was going to make a stone soup, and I would love to share it with all of you." "Stone soup," thought the villagers. The soldier took a large cooking pot out of his knapsack. He took some water out of a small flask he had also in his bag, and then started a fire and started to boil the water in the pot. From his pocket, he took out a plain grey stone. "This," he said, "is a magic stone." He put it into the cooking pot and stirred. "Stone soup," he said as he smelled it in. Word got around the village about this magic stone soup, and more villagers started to gather. "Now, stone soup is delicious," he said, "but it's always a bit better with some cabbage." Before he knew it, a villager had come back with a large cabbage. "I hope this might be useful," she said. He thanked her, chopped up the cabbage, and popped it into the soup. Oh, cabbage and stone soup is lovely, he said, but it is always quite good with some carrot. Another villager came back with some carrots, peeled them and chopped them into the soup. Next thing, there were onions and garlic, and villagers were bringing mushrooms, celery and potatoes, chopping them up and putting them into the soup. The soldier stirred and stirred as it cooked and boiled. As it was cooking, the villagers started to talk to each other. They started to tell jokes and share stories. Finally, the soup was ready. The soldier ladled it out to all of the villagers, and it was the best soup they had ever had. That night, the villagers talked and laughed and sang songs together, and the soldier had many offers of a place to stay. The villagers all tried to buy the stone from the soldier, but it was not for sale. The next morning, as the soldier was packing up his things into his bag, he passed some children as he was leaving the village. He leant down and whispered to them, "It was not the magic of the stone last night, but the magic of all of us together. This is for you." The end.
It happened, I've got that very stone here. But it's interesting, isn't it, really, that everybody pulled together and brought something, and the stone soup, which started out really as just a stone in a load of boiling water, turned out to be something that was really fantastic. You know, and we need to remember that we all need one another, and it's our collective offerings that do the most good, isn't it? You know, when we think of ourselves as a church, really, you know, we often look at ourselves and think, well, we're a bit like this stone, really. We haven't actually got that much to offer to some of the things that we want to do. But, you know, if we're all prepared to give what we've got and to put our all into everything, then, you know, we can actually achieve quite a lot, can't we, really? And I believe that, you know, as we move forward as a church, it really requires all of us, doesn't it, together to produce something that's going to give glory to God. You know, in this passage that Jackie read, you know, it talks, doesn't it, about being generous with the things that we have, and it's a time for us to share with other people. And I think the story of the stone soup is absolutely spot on. You know, that when we share with other people, when we communicate, you know, when we start to do our mission work that we want to do, it brings us closer, not only to the people that we want to reach out to, but it also brings us closer to one another. You know, in a little while, we're all going to enjoy lunch together, aren't we? And actually eating together brings us closer together as well, doesn't it? Which is good. And I think it's a good time, really, for us to do that. Now, the final P is that of praise. So God led the Israelites to their promised land, to that place that he'd chosen for them. He asked them to give a portion of what they had to the best that they had got. And finally, God asked them to give him thanks and praise. He says, in verse 11, he says, "Then you and the Levites, and the foreigners residing among you, shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and to your household." So he's saying here that harvest is not just about giving God our thanks, but it's about our praise and our worship as well. The Message actually paraphrases the same verse like this, and I think it just expresses it a bit better. It says this, it says, then place your offering in the presence of God. Prostrate yourselves in the presence of God, your God, and rejoice. Celebrate all the things that God, your God, has given you and your family. You and the Levite and the foreigner who lives with you. You know, it's a time today, isn't it, to really to praise, to worship, and to give thanks to God for who he is, for what he has done, and what he's going to continue to do for us in our lives. Amen. So we're going to sing now about God's faithfulness in our final hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. With the doxology, which is praise God from whom all blessings flow. And I thought this would be a nice way just to finish our service this morning. So we'll just sing this together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below.